Okay, good morning, everybody. Shukrach. Seems like Baruch Hashem, we have a very nice turnout for Shana Bet. I saw a great question that I never thought of last night in Rezibur Shin Sefer in Baruch Hinavshi. It's a question from Yecheskel Abramsky Zatzal. And he asks a question that we probably all should have thought of. The Torah starts out by discussing the visit of the three Malachim. The three Malachim are coming. And Rashi tells us what's the purpose of the mission of each of the Malachim, because we know each Malach can only do one mission. So we know one Malach was there to tell Sarah about the upcoming child. One Malach was there to come to heal Avraham Avinu. And one Malach was there to turn over stone, to destroy stone. So, Lamaisa, we understand why the two Malachim had to go to Avraham's house. Because they had to heal Avraham and tell Sarah about the upcoming birth. They have to be there. But why in the world did the Malach, who's coming to overturn stone, to destroy stone, why did he have to go to Avram's house? What's the connection? Let him go straight to stone and destroy stone. I thought it's just an amazing question that I never thought of. But Rav Zilberstein writes, he calls Rav Cheskel Abramsky his Rebbe, and he said he always used to start off the parsha asking this question. It's a very strong question. What was the Malach doing there? So he said a beautiful idea. He said that in reality, the Torah was not yet given, right? What did they have? They have Mitzvah B'nai Noach. How the Malach, if he's going to go to Sodom, he's going to say to himself, "I'm destroying Sodom." What did they do already? And why are they culpable? Why are they going to be punishable? Why are they going to be punished by destroying Sodom? It seems to be unwarranted, undeserved. And he perhaps could have second thoughts about what he's doing. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was that the Malach went to see Avraham Avinu, how Avraham Avinu acts. When the Malach saw Avraham Avinu, how he acts, klapei hachnasas orchim, and how he treats people, that contrast to how the people of Sodom will act will make it very clear that these people are up to no good. And it's actually meduik in the pasuk in Yechezkel. Yechezkel, in Perek Tezayin, pasuk Mem Tes, says the following pasuk. It says, Stom, your sister, this is their avera. They had bread, they had tranquility, to the residents and the daughters. What was the primary issue in Stom? That they did not strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. And therefore, even though the Torah was not necessarily given, certainly, and therefore perhaps one would say, hey, why are they punished? Why are they being punished so severely? The teretz is that when you saw the contrast about how Avraham Avinu acted versus the way the demeanor and the general feeling in Sodom was, it would be clear to the Malach that they deserve to be destroyed. If there exists such a greatness in people like Avraham Avinu, then certainly the evil of Sodom is extremely apparent. And Rav Zilberstein also quotes Rav Shamshon of Hirsch. Shamshon of Hirsch says, what is the connection between the end of last week's parsha and this week's parsha? Last week's parsha certainly praises Avraham Avinu for having the bris milah. And the beginning of this parsha discusses Hachlas Zorachim. What's the connection? And he says, a person may think that the only difference between a Jew and a non-Jew is the body, is external. That a Jew has a bris milah and a non-Jew doesn't have a bris milah. But yet you would think that, oh, the way they do chesed, the way they interact with other people, that's going to be similar. Because the only difference really is the guf. And says if Shamshon follow Hirsch, no, the Torah is coming to tell you right away in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, no, it's not just a physical difference between the Jew and the non-Jew. The difference is also how they do chesed, how they interact with people. And it's very, very clear. A Jew lives for other people. Avraham Avinu, he's elderly, he's not well, he just underwent a tremendous surgery, it's hot, it doesn't bother him. He's there, he lives for other people, he's there to help people. In contrast, the people of Sodom, and ideal, you know, other types of people, that's not how they live. And he quotes Rav Shach as saying something else. He says that we know the Gemara tells us that it's greater to do hachnas orchim, to receive guests, than to talk to Hashem. The raya is from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was in the middle of talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, God, hold on, I got to go take care of the guests. Now, that's counterintuitive. Most people think that the ultimate is to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to interact with people and to help people. So if Shach says, it says, when what's Kabbalah's Pnei HaShechina? To be omid lefnei Hashem, to stand before Hashem. Right? However, what it means to be a rachum, what it means to be somebody who's charitable, what it means to do achlasas orchim and interact properly with people, that's not in front of Hashem. That's clinging to Hashem. Mahu rachum afato rachum. Right? Mahu gomel chesed afato gomel chesed. When you imitate and you mirror the ways of Hashem, so you're not just in front of Him, you are Him. You're much closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I used to say over a mashal to bring this home, I came up with the mashal, I think it's accurate, that it is counterintuitive. One would think that the ultimate goal is to be in front of Hashem, not necessarily to be like Hashem. So I think I thought of the following mashal a few years ago. The idea that a person, let's say a person is a very wealthy person, he runs a tremendous company, and he has two options. He has a son. He could either have his son become his right-hand man and help him run his own company, and he'll see him all the time, and he'll have a relationship with him, or he can direct his son to start his own company and follow in the ways of the father and have his own success. And I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think, in the mashal, I think the father would rather see his son implement all the things that he taught him and go and build himself and build his own company. Of course he wants to see him around on a regular basis. But perhaps the greatest nachas would be to see him following his ways, and of course, assuming his ways are good, following his ways and achieve success on his own. And that's the thing with Shana Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu, of course he wants to talk to Avraham Avinu. Of course he wants to have a relationship with others. But when we go ahead and we mirror and we act in a godly fashion, that is an even bigger nachas, and that's what Rav Shach is telling us. That means you're clinging to Hashem. If you're acting like Hashem, that means you're clinging to Hashem. You're not just standing in front of Him. That's number one. Number two, he also brings down, it says, Vayisa Eina Vayar. Right? I don't understand. Why did the Torah have to tell us that he raised up his eyes and he saw? Obviously, when you see, you raise up your eyes. So the Maskil of David says that it shows us that every act that Avraham Avinu did was the same Shemayim. He didn't just stop look. He was looking for it. He was picking up his eyes, l'shem shemayim, to do more mitzvot. He wasn't just, lo and behold, he saw. No, he was looking for it. Every action he was doing was l'shem shemayim. So Rav Zilberstein brings out a beautiful story. That every action a person does, every prat has aspects of l'shem shemayim. He says there's a story about a Talmud Chacham in Bnei Brak who bought an item from a person. A person came from outside of Bnei Brak, came to Bnei Brak, and he advertised in the newspaper, and he was selling an item. And this guy went ahead and he bought this item, whatever it was. It doesn't say in the story what the item was. And a week later, he gets a phone call that the check bounced. The check bounced. So he feels bad. He realized that the way it works in Israel, oftentimes you give what's called Harat Keva. For example, let's say for my son's yeshiva, right? So I gave him three checks that come out. Actually, last week I was looking at it, I'm like, wow, what's this check for? I don't remember writing that check. And it said I wrote the date of last week. I'm like, what? I wrote that check last week? No, I wrote it 3 months ago, but they asked for post-dated checks. That's the way it goes. So this Talmud Chacham in Bnei Brak, he forgot that he had a post-dated check that was coming through, and the check bounced. So the guy called, and he says, oh, I'm so sorry. He says, hey, when are you going to be in Bnei Brak again? And the person said, I'll be there tomorrow. So the man said, okay, great, I'll meet you tomorrow. It was a very, very friendly conversation. I'll meet you tomorrow. And I'll give you cash instead of another check. And I feel so bad. He hangs up the phone, and he realizes that when it comes to Chilul Hashem, the Mishnah says Echad Shogiv Echad Meizid B'Chilul Hashem. Even if it's by accident, Chilul Hashem. And Chilul Hashem is the worst of Eira, right? The worst of Eira. The only way to be Misakin Chilul Hashem is to be Mekadosh, do a Kiddush Hashem. So he decides he's going to do. He makes an instinctive decision. He says this guy lives in a moshav near Yerushalayim. Not so close to Bnei Brak, not even a direct bus. And he says, you know what? I was Mechal Hashem Shemar, I'm going to go ahead and do Kiddush Hashem. And he said, he dropped what he was doing, he figured out how he was going to get there by bus, and he got to the guy's door, and he brought him the cash within a few hours. And the person's reaction was, HaMoichir hir b'ladabr b'shivcho shal Kodesh Baruch Hu shal Kisrael she'ilu hein bonov. Wow, what a Kiddush Hashem. So the way Rav Zilberstein expresses the story, so every aspect of what this guy did was Kiddush Hashem. Look, thinking about traveling right away, looking up the address, slumping there on the bus. Every aspect of this guy's actions was Kiddush Hashem. Not just giving the money. The entire journey. Every aspect was Kiddush Hashem. Because this person, what was his goal? His goal is to be Kiddush Hashem. When a person does a general mitzvah, there's so many different details of the mitzvah. When a person has like a Avraham Avinu, Vayisa Eino, Vayar, when you pick up your eyes, if your whole essence is to be Kiddush Hashem, so it's not just the act in general. It's every single detail. I mean, I certainly love this story because this is what you know, from Jews, this is how Erlich and Jews act. If we inadvertently are Mechal Shem Shemayim, we go ahead and we try to Mechal Shem Shemayim and follow in the ways of Avraham Avinu. I just want to say over two more ideas that I'm pretty sure I mentioned in Elul, but going into this week's parasha, it's certainly kedai to review it. Number one, in Hilchos Tshuva, in the third parak, it says that a Medina that has more Averos, right, Miyad Hi Ovedes, Parak Shlishi, Parak Gimel, Halacha Beis, Hilchos Tshuva. So the Chamishna asks an obvious question. If that's the case, Vim Toimar, Imkain, Kim, the Stom of Onesem, Rubim, Zuchiosa, The Rambam is Halacha Sefer. The Halacha Sefer says if a country has more Averus and Mitzvos, end, done, finished. No, they get destroyed. So how in the world can Kadosh Baruch Hu tell Avram if they're 50 tzaddikim, I'll save stone? What's the chat? Says Lechem Mishnah, V'yeshlomer b'nei tefilas Avram haya meichel af al pi shein adin kach. You see that when it comes to tefillah, even if halachically speaking, a person, a country is supposed to be destroyed, tefillah can change everything. It shows you the koach of tefillah. And one would say, oh, it's Avraham Avinu. But guess what? We're descendants of Avraham Avinu. The koach of tefillah can change anything. Things are supposed to go one way, but tefillah can change it. That's number one. Number two, that I mentioned, I heard from a friend in Elul, and he was talking about the inyan of Mesiris Nefesh. Being Moser Nefesh. Apparently, there's a halacha, I think it's the Bach, I don't know, I haven't looked it up yet, I really should, that when a person says, B'chol nafshcha in Kriya Shema, he has to be willing to give up his life. So, my friend, who actually learns with Baron David, they were having a machlokes, Baron David says, you don't have to mamish, have in mind in our generation to give up your life, mamish. And my friend says, yes, you do. You have to have in mind. So, I went to a big rav, his name is Abish Eisen, Shlita. He's a Meish Aram, he's a very, very chashuv rav. And they went with him with the question. And he said that no, we're not obligated to have in mind to give up our lives, Amish. Aye, so what does it mean to be Moser Nefesh? So he said, we're arrived from this week's parasha. He says, I don't understand. He said, Avraham Avinu gave up his life. When did Avraham Avinu give up his life? In Kivshon Eish. Does it say it in the Torah? No. If it doesn't say it in the Torah, that's true. We believe it 100%. It was certainly the first of the 10 challenges. It certainly happened, no question about it. But the reason why it wasn't mentioned in the Torah is because it's not necessarily applicable to us. It doesn't apply to us. Giving up our life, that's not what Mesiris Nefesh means. So what is Mesiris Nefesh? So what is Akedas Yitzchak called? One would think, oh, it's recalled Avram sacrificing his son, the sacrifice of Yitzchak. It's called Akedas Yitzchak. The binding of Yitzchak. Says Rashi, why did Yitzchak, I'm pretty sure I saw it in Rashi, I'm pretty sure Rashi says, right, why did he bind himself? Why did he make sure he was bound? Because he didn't want to be a Baal Mum. Because why? Because he knew that if the knife is going to come to him, and he's going to move, so he's going to become a Baal Mum. What does that mean? That means that when Yitzchak Avinu wanted to offer himself, he wanted it to be done perfectly. He didn't want to be a Baal Mum. Says Rav Abish Eisen Shrita, that's what Mesiris Nefesh is. You know what Mesiris Nefesh means? Whatever mitzvah you have, you're obligated to do, you do it to perfection. That's what Mesiris Nefesh means. You daven, do it perfectly. You learn it, do it perfectly. Right? You do it chesed, do it perfectly. That is what Mesiris Nefesh means. Mesiris Nefesh does not mean going ahead and giving up your life, per se. But what it does mean is, and we know this is certainly true, it's harder to live Al-Kiddush Hashem, to be Mesiris Nefesh all the times, and, you know, one time. We spoke about that before also. Why there's another explanation why the Kiddush Hashem was not mentioned. Because it's a one-time thing. The other Nisyonos were for a longer period of time. But the Yisod here, what is Mesiris Nefesh? Like Yitzchak Avinu. If I'm doing a mitzvah, I do it perfectly. Why? Because I don't want to become a Baal Mum. I don't want to have any defects in the mitzvahs. So just to recap. Number one, the Nakuda, that stone could not be destroyed. The Amalek wouldn't feel comfortable destroying stone unless he saw the contrast between Avram and stone. Number two, the idea is Vayisa Einav. Everything Avram Avinu did was the Shem Shemayim. And number three, the Koach HaTfila, that a person, even if the odds are against you, even if, halachically speaking, there's destruction, Tfila can save you. And number four, the idea of Mesiris Nefesh means that everything you do should be done to perfection. Have a good Shabbos.